This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we do have the West All-Star reserves here. Was that in your update, Mike? I don't think it was.
Well, it hasn't been released yet.
Fully been released. They just have the Twitter leaks.
I've got it right here. I'm watching TNT.
So they're just releasing them right now.
I got it right here.
Live.
Just wrote it down. That wasn't
Which
in
is possible update, was for it? Possible for me to do while I'm talking, right?
Somebody's getting a little butthurt.
Someone's awful defensive about not having the correct information in their updates.
I'll bring them the news. If the newsman can't.
Well, you are the most decorated
non-newsman
west of the Rockies.
Look at you twisting this against me.
Damian Lillard, he made it. Did you know that?
I did.
Karl Anthony Towns. Why are you laughing?
I think that kind of goes without saying.
Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Six time for LaMarcus.
Jimmy Butler. Not to be confused with Gerard Butler.
By the way, can I point out that that guy continues to make movies and might be the worst actor in the history of Hollywood?
My wife will kill you.
Well, he is gorgeous. Make no mistake about it. But for every time that a woman gets mad that you want to stare at, some dumb blonde that can't do anything, just roll out Mr. Butler there, who can't act his way out of a paper bag, but is absolutely dreamy.
Russell Westbrook made the team.
Not a whole lot of surprise there. I don't think anyone was doubting that Westbrook was making that team.
I don't know. I'd have left him off. And Klay Thompson.
I did see that this is the first time in NBA history that two teams have had four All-Stars in consecutive years.
Say that one more time.
First time in NBA history that a team has had four All-Stars two consecutive years. So Golden State had four last year. They had four this year. First time that's ever happened.
Wow.
So it does say something about the quality of talent there
in
Golden State and why everyone else is chasing them. And no one believes, minus Houston maybe, that anyone can give them a game.
So who got snubbed? Chris Paul's not on there.
Chris Paul left out.
Yeah, Chris Paul got left out.
Paul George.
Oh, that's right. Paul George. And then obviously Kawhi Leonard's hurt.
Yeah.
That helped Lillard a lot.
Yes, it certainly does.
Like a lot.
And then do you have the East yet, or is that still...
I haven't seen the East yet.
Is that still to come?
I think it's on its way. And then we'll tell you what that is when we hear about it.
What hot tuss.
Right now, they're still breaking it down. They got Isaiah Thomas on there.
He's got an interesting look going on there.
He's talking about it with his hot takes. Okay, the NFL coaching carousel. Do we get all the coaches hired except for the Lions and Colts, who we know is going to be Patricia and McDaniels?
Yeah, I think outside of that, I think everyone has their guy now.
So those guys are still coaching because, the Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl.
And, that's...
But the Colts are going to hire...
You know who their hire is going to be. You have to wait.
The Colts are going to hire Josh McDaniels, and the Lions are going to hire Matt Patricia, the offense and defensive coordinators of the Patriots. The Titans hired Mike Vrabel, and I read today... Mike Vrabel, that Mike Vrabel.
Yes. Former linebacker, tight end extraordinaire Mike Vrabel. Wow, I can't
Uh-oh.
Say that.
It's,
we're getting another Aaron Rodgers here. Not Aaron Rodgers, but golf situation.
Jared Goff.
Vrabel.
Say it with me.
There we go.
You got it.
I got it.
Congrats. He is not going to hire that Ryan Day guy from Ohio State.
Yeah, he wanted to hire the Ohio State offensive coordinator. And I think it's interesting that both of the guys, whether it's a guy from Ohio State, now this guy that I guess he's going after is a Chip Kelly disciple. I think it's interesting that he is kind of looking at the whole college-type offenses for Mariota, even though you know, he's a defensive-minded guy, and some people were questioning that when they hired him. Like, man, why didn't you go with an offensive guy? Doesn't mean you can't hire a defensive guy. It just means that he has to be open to the idea of you know, building an offense around his best player, building it around his quarterback. And it looks like, at least from, you know, these the guys he's going after, that he is open to the idea of a more innovative style of offense for Marcus.
Yeah, so this Day guy worked with Chip.
Yeah.
Right? He was with Chip with the Eagles. You know that year that Nick Foles put up all those numbers with Chip?
This was
his quarterback's coach. And he was also with Chip in San Francisco, but he moved on to Ohio State, and they have promoted him to co-offensive coordinator, and he's going to be the main play caller there. So he's staying there, which is interesting. And Dick LeBeau is out too, their defensive coordinator. But do you think if Mariota had a great year and put up good numbers, but the Titans were still 9-7, is Malarkey gone?
No, I don't think so. I think he's
back. You think
back.
He's still there?
I think the reason he's gone is it's not even Mike Malarkey. I think it's Terry Robiskie. I think that's why he's gone. I think people saw the regression. I think people saw just the lack of innovation, and I think that's ultimately what happened. I mean, remember, they were working on a contract extension for Malarkey, but they wanted him to make changes, and Malarkey said no, and they're like, all right, well, we see this as a difference of opinion, and so away you go. And they're cleaning house. It's going to be a whole new staff, and they're going to kind of start from scratch. And I think if you're Marcus, I think you're pretty happy about this. I think you're happy about a fresh set of eyes and getting someone that's got a maybe a different kind of view on it. And I think the next year is a huge year for Marcus. You know, his first 2 years were solid, but certainly not star level. And then you saw this regression. I think this is a big year for him. And you look around it. This is a good team. It's not like this is a team that's lacking talent on paper. At least you look at like Pro Football Focus, you have one of the best two or three offensive lines in football. You've got some young guys on the outside that are still unproven, but you spent draft picks on them. You've got an aging but still a very effective tight end. You've got a couple backs, so that we don't know if Murray's going to be back, but Derrick Henry looks like he can be a bell cow back, and you've got a pretty good defense. And you know, you're still able to go out and draft and bring in young guys. So if you're Tennessee, you know, and you made the playoffs this year. I mean, you won a playoff game. There's no reason to think that with a little better offensive scheme and Marcus not having the turnovers and staying healthy, there's no reason to think that Tennessee can't be a serious contender next year.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see who they hire as OC now, because they're not, like I said, they're not getting Day. He's staying at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So they still need to hire an OC, and that's really kind of the million-dollar hire right there.
But I think to me, it shows you something that's kind of what he's looking at.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we're getting 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And you look at when Foles was successful under Chip, and even, you know, a lot of what Doug Peterson did with him, you know, there's ways to bring college concepts in without necessarily running the quarterback. Like the new fad, and they did this great against Minnesota, is the RPOs, and you hear this all the time, it's the run pass options. It's basically kind of the read option in college, but the quarterback's never going to run the football. It's the same concept of reading the linebacker or reading a defensive end. So when you see it, you know, basically in the read option in the run game in college, it's you read a linebacker, you read a defensive end or a tackle, and if he crashes, right, you hand the ball off or the quarterback keeps it. Well, these RPOs, basically what they're doing now is the linebacker commits, then you throw the quick slant. If he doesn't, you hand it off. So there are some more concepts that you can bring into the NFL without necessarily having a running quarterback. I just think it takes a little ingenuity, and I think Marcus can thrive under something like that. And I think it helps the learning curve a little bit as far as reading defenses go and giving you simpler looks. Remember, this guy went from, you know, basically elementary level math to all of a sudden you're in the NFL and you're being asked to do advanced trigonometry. You know, it's going to still take a while. And I do think that some of these quick read college concepts will help with that development as he still learns the NFL game, because he's still a very young quarterback.
Mariota.
Well, I will say, we'll pause here. When we come back, though, I want to get to the Mark Helfrich thing with the Bears. I read an article about, it's basically talking about the same thing you just pointed out about why Mark Helfrich to the Bears is such a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I think some people might be confused. Like if they're not huge into football, you're like, well, why Helfrich? You know, a college coach, like we already learned that the Chip Kelly stuff really didn't work in the NFL. And so what is that all about? But there is definitely a lot of good reasoning behind it. And we'll get to that, Jason Sakanek, next on The Fan.
With Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Here are the East. Would you guys like to report to the people what you're talking about?
Just talking about hooks.
Yeah. Why don't you tell the people.
As well as pressure.
All about hooks and pressure.
It's fishing. You know, the people are bored. That's an outdoor shore sort of thing. Trust me.
I can assure you all they are not talking about
that
fishing.
Is what we're talking about. We're talking about hooks.
Is that what they call that?
There was hooks and pressure and bait. It's a whole thing. Get
you guys,
your mind out of the gutter.
You're so gross.
I'm over here trying to be wholesome.
All I'm trying to do is sports.
I'm very innocent.
Why do you hate fishing, Rob?
I don't hate fishing. I just...
You seem pretty anti-fishing to me.
I don't hate anything. I don't
That's not true.
I don't hate
you
fishing.
You don't hate anything. What a crock of S.
I'm a non-hater.
We all hate things.
No, I don't hate fishing. It's just I don't prefer it.
You don't hate anything.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
So here are your East All-Stars. Chris
Olive
Stapps.
Garden.
Porzingis. Don't hate it.
I do.
Never eat there.
You want to go to the Olive Garden tonight?
No. But that's not because I hate it.
You hate it.
It's just way better.
You'd refuse to go to the Olive Garden.
But that doesn't mean I hate it.
Yeah,
you're going to try to pin me down here, and it's not going to work. I hate nothing. I'm a nihilist.
That is such a lie.
So here are your East reserves, East All-Star reserves. By the way, if you're just tuning in, Damian Lillard did make it on the West team. So Porzingis, Oladipo, Bradley Beal, Al Horford, Kevin Love, Kyle Lowry, and John Wall.
Kevin Love made it, huh?
Yeah. Well, Love's having a nice year for them.
Yeah, I just... You kind of get that. It kind of gets lost in the whole. Everybody hates him, and no one wants him there.
Well, he's taking the blame.
Yeah.
Like he's such a. I don't know what's going on there.
That was a disaster trade.
But he is such a. He's such a whipping boy for them.
Yep.
Like it seems like this happens every year where they start blaming him. What the hell? What has he done? Besides, I mean, he's a nice player. Honestly, unless there's something inside the locker room we don't know. How could you blame Kevin Love for what's gone wrong with the Cavs, which, by the way, isn't much that's gone wrong with them. They're good.
Yeah, they go to the finals. They're just not good enough to beat Golden State
on a consistent basis. That's what I mean. It's like, it seems like every year they're pointing fingers, Love, Love,
that he's
the problem.
That he's always the issue.
Oh, give me a break.
Well, I guess now what's happening too is that LeBron's ready to murder him because both he and Isaiah Thomas can't play defense. And so I think it's a frustration thing of like, this is my team, and I've got two guys that are pretty good, but statistically, like, Kevin Love is one of the worst defenders at his position in the NBA. And Isaiah Thomas, did you know that Isaiah Thomas is the worst starter as far as defensive efficiency in the NBA?
I could see that.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
And these are two guys that you're relying upon. This is why you give up 148 points, although I guess Kevin Love wasn't playing in that game, and so... It's just LeBron being pissed off, and so you're.
But didn't LeBron bring him in though?
Yes.
Wasn't he part of
the
whole thing to get him?
Yes. Now the Isaiah Thomas thing. No, I mean that was just Kyrie wanted out because he was tired of dealing with LeBron.
No, I'm talking about Love.
Yes. When he came to Cleveland, part of that was you're going to trade the number one or number two pick, whoever it was. It was Wiggins. I think it was number one overall, and you went out and got Kevin Love. This is what you wanted.
Hey, they're blaming the white guy.
They did win an NBA title though. I mean,
right. But again, it's his fault.
It's his fault.
So, quick note on Helfrich. I read this article in The Athletic, which is a new hot sports website.
Yeah, it's the pay website. It's like, what, $3 a month?
I don't know that.
It is.
But you know who signed up for it?
It's $2.99.
Brandon Sprague.
I don't think he signed up for it. I think...
Is the fan paying for it?
No, I think one of the gals that they have on a lot writes there, and I think they gave us like a group sort of... subscription thing.
Well, I was able to log in via Brandon Sprague today.
Yes.
So they think Brandon Sprague was reading this article. It was me.
You fools!
Surprise!
It's like how there's only 7 people that use Netflix and they just share all the passwords.
Yeah, have they put a stop to that yet?
I don't know. I don't have one. I've had Netflix for like 10 years and I've never paid a dime for
it. I still have. I've moved on to Spotify, but every once in a while, there are a couple channels on Pandora that I like.
Yeah.
And I still have my friends log in on that.
I have my sister's Netflix account.
How would they be able to tell how many people didn't have their own account? How would they even be able to find that out?
I think there's a limit to how many people can be watching at once. I think it's like four or five separate like logins.
Yeah.
Well, they could track the logins, right? Like if they see 500 people logging in from one.
Yeah, they would know.
They'd be like, wait a minute.
So that, I do think there's a limit to how you can put on it, but I laugh at how many people I know that have Netflix and yet it's not their own Netflix account. It's not their own Netflix account.
Yeah, we're the dumb ones that pay for one.
Well, I do it too.
I don't have a Netflix account. I have a friend's Netflix account.
Yeah, see, we pay for one.
Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
So I have that too, and I've got multiple people that use Amazon Prime, and like their credit card information, like their address is on there, and they just log in and order stuff and get shipped to their house. And I've had a ton of people that are like, hey, can I use your Prime? I'm like, yeah, here, have at it.
Use your Netflix, Rob.
I don't know. I know that... Well,
has Meat given the account out to some friends?
His little brothers have it.
Yeah.
Because I see their little crap on there.
Yeah, because it says, like, because so-and-so watched this.
They have their own little profiles.
For a number of years, my daughter had a friend named Julia Guglia, whatever the hell her last name was, and I used Julia's.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Her name was Julia Guglia?
No, we called her that. Oh. Her name was Julia. I don't know what the hell her last name was.
Fascinating.
But it would always disturb me because it would show you what they had watched. And let's be honest, Julia was watching some...
Julia Guglia?
Yeah, Julia Guglia was watching some... very adult themed. She was like a 13, 14 year old girl. And I was like, someone's into some interesting things there, Julia.
So on The Athletic, somebody wrote a piece about why Mark Helfrich is a good fit for the Bears. To your point about Vrabel bringing in like the college concept idea.
Yeah.
You know, people think it's oil and water with the NFL, but
it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't. And this is why the Bears brought in Helfrich. So their new coach is that Nagy guy who came from the Chiefs. And basically, the point is Mark Helfrich is the master of shotgun.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs ran 73% of their plays from the shotgun. And when Nagy started calling plays, that actually went up. So they run more shotgun than anybody. Nagy loves a shotgun. Well, Helfrich was all shotgun at Oregon with Mariota. He was 100% shotgun. Yep. In this, you know, after Kelly, Mark Helfrich... His stamp on the Chip Kelly stuff was more pass-oriented. I mean, you know this, but just from this article, they were talking about how as a head coach at Oregon, Helfrich's offense was actually a lot more RPOs, more play action, and they actually went more pistol and more power runs than what Chip Kelly did. So the key being the formations, you know, for their runs and their passes all are identical.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then you have a quarterback like Mariota, who is a maestro at fooling the defense and reading the defense and just like you couldn't have asked for a better quarterback in that system.
No.
And that's why they ended up in the national championship game.
I feel like what they're trying to do with Helfrich and Trubisky is what Doug Peterson did with Carson Wentz.
Right.
And if you watch what Philadelphia does, there is a lot of college concepts in there. They play a lot of shotgun stuff. They spread you out a little bit, and they try to simplify the looks for Carson Wentz.
Well, that's
And then as he grows and develops, then yes, you learn to take more shots downfield, but it's a lot of window dressing. And basically what you're doing is you're trying to eliminate a lot of the clutter in a young quarterback's mind and keep things fairly simple and then allow him to use his legs when he needs to be, but it's not necessarily part of your offense.
And that's why Helfrich is good with the Bears, because Trubisky ran much of the same stuff as Mariota did in college. So he knows that well. So what they're doing is they're utilizing Trubisky's skill sets being his brain. Like Trubisky is really smart. He's a good decision maker, much like Marcus Mariota. So they want to, you know, get him in there and get him in situations where he can make quick decisions and he can get rid of the ball. And who better to help him do that than the guy who coached Mariota to the national title game, because they're very similar in pocket awareness. They're very similar in avoiding pressure. They're both mobile. Obviously, Mariota more mobile, but they both have that element. They're both poised. They're both athletic. They both keep their eyes down the field really well, and they both have body control on their runs. And they say that Trubisky, in a lot of ways, does mirror some of the attributes of Mariota. And the last bit of why Helfrich is a good fit with the Bears, and he's not even the OC, Nagy's going to be calling plays. Helfrich is more going to be working with
Trubisky.
Jordan Howard, their running back, is most effective when rushing out of the shotgun. And Helfrich is all shotgun in college. So you can see the synergy there. You can see the fit. Even though it's college stuff, it works. Like you say, the Eagles did it. And, you know, Pat Shurmur, who just got the job with the Giants, he was doing some Chip Kelly stuff because he was with Chip Kelly in Philly. He was doing some Chip Kelly stuff with Minnesota this year with Case Keenum.
And it's interesting that someone also points out that Doug Peterson, Andy Reid guy, both him and Nagy both came from that big Kansas City group there. Nagy took over for Doug Peterson when he left and went and took the job in Philadelphia. But I do think there's a lot of people now that are realizing that the Mike Martz way of thinking of I've got all these great ideas and you're going to buy into it, whether you can handle it or not. Mike Martz's the knock against him is that he was too damn smart for his own good. They had this ridiculous playbook and would throw a gajillion things at you. And then he was pissed off when no one could handle it. You're like, well, sorry, you're going to have to dumb it down for people. And I think there are a lot of smart guys in the NFL that realize now that it doesn't do any good to beat your head against the wall saying my quarterback can't do X, Y, Z. My quarterback's not Drew Brees. It's not Tom Brady. It's not Aaron Rodgers. So why am I going to treat them like they're those three guys as opposed to actually building an offense around them that makes sense? And then, again, what you're trying to hope is over a couple years, you can continue to grow and develop and put more meat on that bone. You know, I think did a good job with this is Seattle. And I still think there's some room to go with Russell Wilson. I think his poor offensive line play and lack of run game is stunting him a little bit. Seattle. But I think they did a great job with this. I think Pittsburgh did a great job with this with Ben Roethlisberger of allowing those guys to be more college oriented. And then after, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in the league, you really started to see them open up, and Philadelphia is doing a great job with Carson Wentz.
All right. Coming up next in the news, Bill Cosby just living his damn life. And we have bad Neil Diamond news coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:37. Time for In the News, January 23rd, 2018. Your noted newsman here. The most decorated non-reporter this side of the Rocky Mountains.
It's quite an accomplishment.
Here we go. Now, this person is correct. One of our texters called me out and said, you do not effing tease bad Neil Diamond news. He's right. My sincerest apologies. That was a horrible tease because now you're probably thinking, he died.
He's not dead.
He is definitely not
dead.
It's
bad news, but he's not dead. Getting better.
Our man, Neil Diamond, friend of the broadcast, Neil Diamond, has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, so I think he's done touring. Although, is he on his...
He's going to retire.
Yeah. Is he finishing up the one he's on?
No.
So he's off the road right now.
He's out. Yeah, he was on his 50th anniversary tour.
Yeah.
But he's going to call it quits. And he says, it is with great reluctance and disappointment that I have announced my retirement from concert touring. I've been so honored to bring my shows to the public for the past 50 years.
I'll tell you this. You've seen Neil in concert, right?
Oh, yeah.
I never got to see good Neil Diamond.
He's great.
But bad Neil Diamond...
is better.
Is still, like, wonderful. I kind of... Like you said, I kind of embrace bad Neil Diamond. He kind of forgets words, and the crowd's singing along, and he's just kind of up there, and it's... I don't know. There was a... A simplicity to it. There was a beauty behind it. But that is one of the best times I've ever had at a show, even though it wasn't Neil at his best.
Yeah, but it's still Neil, and he was wearing sequins. That's all I cared about.
Yes.
When I saw him Moda Garden.
The Moda Center.
I saw him there.
Let's call it the Moda Garden. I like it.
Yeah, it was funny. The two things I remember from that show, very... very good show, but yes, not peak Neil Diamond. One is when you walk into the show, like a lot of concerts, you know, you're getting lubed up. There's like a buzz, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting drunk.
And lubing the deals.
They're playing loud music, waiting. You know, you're waiting. There, pretty much everyone was either reading or crocheting before the show.
It's the calm before the storm.
All the olds.
And I'm here to tell you that. Sometime throughout my high school career, I'm not exactly sure when it was, my mother, Little Bool, went to a Neil Diamond show and left without her brassiere. I'll say that.
I know. That's the other thing I remember is that the olds, they'll get up close. Like, if you look at the first 10 rows of a Neil Diamond show, it's all old blue hairs, and they are partying up there.
Yep.
And Neil will come down on a couple of his songs, and he will, you know, he'll turn on their heart lights, if you know what I mean. And they will throw their their undergarments on stage.
Unmentionables.
Even at whatever, however old he is, 75.
You know, Boole was probably in her 50s at that point. But yeah, the brassiere came off and it ended up on stage at Neil Diamond.
He's 77. He turned 77 on Wednesday.
Yeah. So, he's not dying, but
Parkinson's.
Obviously, you know, you're 77, you got Parkinson's. And you know what? Neil has earned a long, nice respite here.
No, he has, because he's always out there.
Yeah,
he's out there every
year.
He's
a touring maniac. He's always around.
Favorite Neil Diamond tune?
Forever in Blue Jeans.
Yeah, I like that one too. Partial to Song Sung Blue.
Yeah, understand.
Love that. Great tune. You'll Be a Woman Soon. Of course, America. You know, you got to put that on your list.
Well, then, you know, they got the standard, you know, that's he's known for it. It's Sweet Caroline. It's not my favorite song.
Overplayed.
It is overplayed. But you're telling me no matter where you're at, if that song comes on.
It's awesome.
We were on the beach in Mexico for New Year's, and they were doing the fireworks and all that. And right after the fireworks had died down, there was a resort kind of behind us, and they started cranking up Sweet Caroline, and everyone, like, up and down the beach, it just, like, echoed. It's everyone, even parties that weren't affiliated with that party, everyone turned down their music, and everyone was singing Sweet Caroline, and it's just, it's Neil.
I like I Am, I Said a lot.
What is the old Bill Murray? There's two types of people in this world, those who like Neil Diamond and those who don't, and the two will never meet. You can't, you just can't be with someone that doesn't appreciate Neil.
Also, if you you remember that Red Red Wine song? I don't know how many people know that. You kids won't know this.
UB40.
Yeah, Neil was the original.
Yes.
On that, which is also one of his great great hits. If you want, look, go buy Neil Diamond's 2-disc greatest hits.
And just
it's the best thing ever.
Be prepared to be happy. All right.
No question.
Mr. Bojangles, Kentucky Woman. I'm trying to think of some.
Do you ever sing along with "You Don't Bring Me Flowers" like in Barbra Streisand's voice?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. In Barbara's voice? No.
I do.
I was always partial to Cracklin' Rosie myself.
Good song. Yep. Longfellow Serenade is really good, too. But Neil Diamond, rest in peace.
Well, no. He's not dead.
Not dead. Parkinson's.
Just going to be hanging out for a while.
Hey, coming up next, Bill Cosby is back. And now you would think that it would be like in an orange jumpsuit or something.
No.
Shackles?
No.
No.
He's at the Funny Bone. He's at the Haha Room.
Nope. He's doing sets. Just living his damn life. We'll tell you what happened with him next. 442 on The Fan.
I think it's really sexy.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. In the news, January 23rd, 2018... Bad Neil Diamond news. He has Parkinson's. Also, someone reminding us, actually a couple people reminding us that Neil wrote I'm a Believer for the Monkees.
Yeah, a.k.a. the Jewish Elvis, as they like to call him.
Bill Cosby is back. Now, I don't know about you. I thought he was under lock and key.
No, he was on that. He was going to trial, but I don't ever remember how that ended up. There was one gal that actually... You know, the statute of limitation hadn't run out, and so he was facing a trial. But I don't ever remember what happened, but I'm assuming.
Is this not the weirdest story of all
time?
He
got off. And everyone knows that guy raped like 100 women for a couple decades.
At
and
least.
Yet he's still running around.
It's just so weird that, well, one, his complete and utter sort of, what would be the word? Like, he just totally disregards it. Like, he laughs it
there's
off.
There's no moral compass there. There's no guilt. There's no shame.
Yeah, and he just keeps going out and, like, well, he doesn't go out in public a lot. But he was seen in public last night. It's just bizarre. So this guy...
OJ has the same thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. But Cosby, he goes out to this club in Philadelphia. And I guess they were honoring a musician who's retiring. And he goes out there. And Cosby's in the audience, and so Cosby does kind of this impromptu set. He goes up there, plays a... Did you know Cosby could play the drums?
I did not know that Bill Cosby could play the drums.
He can, and he did. And he did, you know, he told a few jokes, and everybody was like... There's video of it. Everybody's like laughing and clapping, and it's just...
You know...
It's so damn bizarre.
It's sickening to me.
So then there's a kid that comes up there. This kid's probably 12, 13. And Cosby goes, do you know who I am? And the kid goes, you used to be a comedian. And everybody laughed. It was funny. And Bill was like, you know, like, oh, man. Yeah, before he raped all those people. It's like, what bizarro world are we in?
Yeah.
That this dude is not behind bars.
I think a lot of people.
I don't get it.
Were in love with Bill Cosby. They loved him as a character and as a person. So they're still.
No, he loved the juice too.
They're still defending it. A lot of people still defended O.J. Simpson.
Well, Mike has a point. I just the power of celebrity. It's there's nothing that it can't conquer. There just isn't. There's always going to be a group of people that say, I love what he did over here, and so it doesn't matter what he did in his personal life, and nothing's been proven, so therefore I'm going to put my head in the sand or bury it straight up my keister, and I'm going to love Bill Cosby.
It's been proven multiple times. Dude, he's a rapist.
You'd be amazed at how many people can lie to themselves because they want.
Including Bill Cosby.
Including Bill Cosby. And his wife, and it's you would like to believe that there's some social awareness there where Bill Cosby is like, okay, at least I'm not in prison. Just,
right. Just
let me
go.
Let me just go away, and no one wants to deal with me, and I'll just go.
Right.
But
no.
the ego on these sons of guns—it's just—it's
unbelievable.
It is. It's a total lack of awareness because for 80 years he has done whatever he has wanted and has never had any consequences. So, in his mind, he's like, "Great, you've never proved anything against me. I've never served a day in prison. You can go to hell."
So, is he never going to serve? Is he out of the woods?
I'm going to look up and see because I knew he had the one trial and I don't know what happened to it. So I'll do a Google and maybe get back to you on that.
Yeah. Michael Jackson. People bringing up Michael Jackson too.
Same sort of thing, right?
Yeah. Except that, yes, it is the same sort of
this
thing.
This text brought up Kobe.
Yeah.
I think there's the difference between Kobe and granted, he did pay off an accuser and then, you know, people were mad at him for 6 months and then they're like, oh, Kobe's a great guy again. Bill Cosby, it's like 80 women.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, I get that you can. It's a he said, she said thing with Kobe Bryant. I even get the Michael Jackson stuff where some people just think he's creepy, but there's no, you know, he never was convicted of any of that stuff. Although, look, I know which side I come down on there. But with Bill Cosby, this is not, there's no doubt. It's the O.J. thing. If you don't believe Bill Cosby raped all those women, if you don't believe O.J. killed those two people, it's just because, again, you have your head up there, you know what, and you just love those guys, and you refuse to believe that your hero or someone that you admired could do those sorts of things because there's no doubt anymore.
Hey, a couple of other notes from the news. Did you see the lions that attacked the horse at the circus?
No.
Did you catch that video?
No.
Oh, it's bizarre, man. Now, the good ending, the horse lives, and the horse is kind of badass, actually. So I don't know where this is. I think it's not here. It's in Asia somewhere.
That makes sense.
But they've got this horse in there. He's this galloping pony with this big, long, white mane. He's all white. And
lion goes after it?
Two tigers are in there. They're doing a bit. You know, it's a circus. And the freaking tigers start attacking the horse.
Oh, boy.
Like, the horse is running around with the tigers hanging off of it. There's video of it. It is bizarre, man.
Are the kids like clapping or is there a lot of tears? Like,
well, no.
What's happening?
Everybody in the crowd's going crazy.
Oh, boy.
Well, the guys in the, you know, there are guys in there. What do you call those guys?
The circus? The ringmasters.
Ringmasters? Yeah, they're in there.
Clowns or whatever.
And they're like slapping their, whatever it is that they have. They're hitting the
with like whips. And
tigers.
Stuff.
Yeah, with the whips. And the tigers, they finally get the tigers off of the horse. And the horse just is freaking out, just goes in the corner, and I mean he's bleeding, and but he lived.
Gosh,
it is bizarre, man.
Think you're gonna get that horse back in the ring for the next performance? Hey, shake it off, tough night. By the way, I looked it up. His trial was last year, and it was a mistrial. And so he is going to be retried for it. So the judge they couldn't come up with a verdict. It was a hung jury, so the judge declared a mistrial, but he is going to be retried.
All right.
They're gonna go after him again.
And so he's free and clear. He can just go do whatever he wants.
He is free and clear right now, but he is going to be tried again for the
And that's just the one.
Just the one. Because most of those happened and the statute of limitation has run out.
God. By the way, the circus
He looks terrible, by the way.
Yeah, he's a big fat guy.
Oh, he looks like he's got one foot in the grave.
The circus says that the horse is fine, and it's perfectly normal for these incidents to occur during rehearsals.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a little nick. It's like cutting yourself shaving.
Ah.
By the way, the trial will start in April. Three counts of aggravated indecent assault. This stems from a 2004 claim that he drugged and molested a woman at his suburban Philadelphia mansion.
And so this is the only one that hasn't, like, the statute of limitations hasn't run out?
At least it's the one that they're able to prosecute. And so the prosecutors have asked the judge presiding to allow them to call 19 additional women who say that that Bill Cosby drugged and molested them, hoping to illustrate to the jury a pattern of behavior. So even though these women aren't going ahead with their own claims, sounds like they're putting all their eggs in this basket and they're trying to get him on this. And if he did, chances are he would probably serve out the remainder of his years, you know, behind bars.
Well, I hope he didn't drug anybody at the bar he was at last night.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that this is probably the end of it for Bill.
I think he's smart enough to, I think to bail on that little hobby.
Well, and I think at this point...
Let's not give these kind of people too much credit.
No, and I think at this point, I don't know if anyone's falling for that. In fact, I was out last night. I told you it was like this little company function thing. And there was someone that goes, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. Can you watch my drink? I don't want to get Cosby'd. Oh. There's people that are actually using that now as a term. So I think, Bill, I think the gig is up. I think people are aware.
Yeah. You can no longer drug him. But, you know, there are other ways to rape, Jason.
Well, he's like 80-something, too. So I think
I was just joking.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think his days are behind him.
Okay, that is in the news for January 23rd.
Can I say something just real quick here?
No.
I'm going to anyways.
Okay.
And I'm not going to get on a soapbox, I promise. But I do think it's extremely disturbing that we had a school shooting today, and it didn't even make a blip on the national radar. It's like 17 hurt, 2 dead.
Well, there was one yesterday, too.
And no one...
Was it Kentucky yesterday?
Kentucky was today.
California yesterday or something?
Yeah, I think Kentucky. The one in Kentucky today was 17 hurt, 2 dead, and... It literally made hardly a ripple because it's just become so commonplace. And when it's just 2 kids dead, everyone instantly is like, whatever.
We're too used to it.
Yeah. So that's
too common.
That's
scary.
That's just my final little thought on that.
All right. Coming up next, it's the Hot 5 at 5. The All-Star Reserves announced. Did Damian Lillard make it? The hot stove is quite cold, although we do have some news. And I have backup quarterback news. Ooh. You'll love this.
I do like myself a good backup quarterback.
That's coming up next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.